Shalom, and a warm welcome to this international online midweek service. The Lord has been so gracious to us, spreading His amazing love and wanting us to understand who we are, what we have, and the composition of this body that He has given us. And tonight, the subject theme is the cerebral gift, consciousness. Take a few moments, prepare for these few moments now where the Lord will be speaking to us this evening. Call your friends, gather your family. Let them know that the Lord is about to communicate His mind and His heart to us in the presence of atmospheric cells, in the presence of transformative cells in the brain. We are so blessed to be getting this rich, rich information to make us better and to empower us. Now, let us get into the program of the evening. Allow me to introduce our Father. Greetings, our Father.
Greetings, how are you doing, pastors?
I'm indeed blessed to be here, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me tonight.
Thank you so much, Father.
On this wonderful continuation on a very interesting subject. How is it going so far?
We are being transformed.
It's real food for thought, Father. We are seeing the reactions even online. Mm-hmm. There's so much interest. People are blown away by the kinds of revelations and can't wait to get deeper into this.
I know. That's very true. People can't wait. And thank you so much again for joining. And I pray that God blesses you and enlightens you and empowers you and enlarges you tonight as you partake of this phenomenal broadcast that we are having. Thank you so much for being here. And we are straight away getting into the subject, which is the cerebral gift. And under that, we are here to discuss on the consciousness. The consciousness. And in an attempt to bring clarity to what is known as consciousness, we will have to divide the activity of the brain, which is the mind, into different categories, so that we put everything that we teach into perspective. So it becomes easy for people to consume and also to relate with. So we are getting into that tonight, and I'll try here and there to remind you of some of the teachings that I might have already given with regards to the same subject.
Thank you.
Remember, there is a time that I told you concerning the awakening that happened when Prophet Ezekiel was receiving a vision from the Lord, where he is in a state that allows him to see into the spirit.
Yes.
And even hear discussions happening in a realm beyond the physical. Mm-hmm. And while he is there, is still assisted by the Spirit of God, by the hand, to stand up on his feet. And God says, if you are to stand on your feet, I will talk to you.
Ezekiel 2, verse 2.
Yeah.
And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me.
So he's already in a vision, but he is not aware of his current state in terms of consciousness.
Okay.
But in that state of unconscious, he sees and he hears, and he's aware of what he's seeing, and he's also aware of what he hears. But then God wakes him up makes him stand. Because the promise was, if you are to stand, I will talk to you.
Stand upon thy feet and I will speak unto
thee. I will speak unto you. But before that, God was speaking to him.
Yes, Father.
And then God says, if you are to stand, I will also speak to you. So it's the same God speaking to a man who is now in two different states. First of all, he's in an unconscious state. But though unconscious, he still can hear God's voice in that state and see visions. And then God wakes him up into another dimension, which is consciousness, where he can be able to stand and balance is maintained and he is aware of his surroundings and still be able to hear God talk. So in that state, you can still be able to dream. Whilst you are standing, you can still be able to hear God's voice whilst you're walking, whilst you're driving. The voice of God or spiritual occurrences and happenings do not in that state come and interfere with your daily activities. You continue. It is business as usual. Yet at the same time, you get to hear what God is saying whilst you're standing, whilst you're walking, whilst you're running, whilst you're swimming. There is no more interference. So it's an awakening into a conscious state. You see that happening like I've given you with the prophet of God, Ezekiel.
Yes.
So it's a graduation into another state, which allows you to stand and still hear God speak. So you are migrating from an unconscious state where you have to be knocked down by spiritual experiences and you lose an awareness of where you are situated. You forget everything else and all that you can hear is God. And all that you can see is a vision. And then so many things can happen around you, even to your body, whilst you, and that's it. And you can't defend yourself. You can't run away from danger because you are having a spiritual experience whilst you are unconscious of your surroundings. Then there is an awakening by the Spirit of God from that state into another state where you can now stand and still interact with the divine whilst you are aware again of what is happening around you. So we are here to briefly talk about consciousness.
Thank you.
Consciousness. And in trying to explain that to you, we'll have to also deal with this subject that you kept on bringing in, the subconscious mind and the conscious mind.
Thank you.
Yes. So, not everything that you know is known by the brain. It's not everything that you know that is known by the brain. The brain is not the only thinking organ that you have. You remember, pastors, during our pastor's seminar when I was teaching on the gut.
Yes.
The intestines.
Yes.
The kidneys.
Yes,
and the reins that instructs. The reins actually instructs. There are times when the reins, organs in your body, they give instructions to the brain.
I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night
season. In the night. So what gets instructed in the night season is the brain. It is your reasoning. It is your mind that is given instruction by the reins. Reins that we never thought had any instruction.
Yes.
So it goes to show that to a certain degree, your reins have some intellectual abilities. There is a level of intelligence that God has put into every organ of your body. And the part that keeps that intelligence is the brain.
Okay.
Because you cannot transfer information, you cannot hand over knowledge into an organ or to an organ. And there is no place within that organ, like the brain, to keep the information. So I want people to be aware of that. Because there are times when what you know is not known by the brain only. This is the reason you you are chasing a chicken in the village. Those are what we call the road runners. You eat it, but you'd have really worked so hard to, yeah. You looked after it growing up, but when it comes to the day that you decide to consume it, it will make sure that you pay another price. And finally, you catch it, you cut off its head, you let it loose.
It was too.
The marathon continues. And people talk about running up and down like headless chicken. Okay, then look at the placement of the brain. You now have the head in your hands, but you still have to struggle to find the body.
True.
So explain the two. You get to notice that there's already been a transference of the mind, of the brain to the rest of the body, to an extent where even when the brain is separated from the body, still you can see the body trying to execute messages.
Wow.
There's an instruction to the body to run for your life. Run for your life.
Wow.
There is no part there to also notice that the head is gone, but the chicken is still running for its life. So, what is there in the body that is aware of danger? Having lost your head that contains the brain, the chicken is still aware of danger and is still aware of the importance of life. So it was sent into the body as a program. So the body must have a certain way of also receiving the mind. And the part of the body that receives the mind must be also the brain. Remember, I was saying that every part of your body is represented in the brain. Every part of your body is represented in the brain. When you think of even folding your arm, before you fold, you thought about it. When you think of stretching your legs, or you fold your legs, there is no string, though I am aware of the nerves, the tissues that you have in your physical body. But when you think of folding your legs, there is no solid string that pulls, like when you are cycling and you want to apply some brakes. That's not the situation where there is a tension of a certain nerve that pulls the leg back from the brain. Doctors cannot find that there is no contraction of a certain rope that pulls the leg. No, it is simply a communication. It's a line of communication. And then you see your legs folding. So what has been communicated there is not necessarily a pull from the brain by the brain of the leg, but it's a dissemination of an instruction. The leg is told what to do, told what to do, and you don't tell a leg unless it is intelligent.
Wow.
And that part of intelligence of the leg must be the brain of the leg. If every part of your body is represented, is there in the brain, it also shows that there is a part of the brain in every part of your body, which creates then the synchronization of your entire body. The system can work perfectly. There is a proper communication. There must be something of like nature in your phone for my phone to be able to call your phone and your phone responds. So I want us to look into that, because it's a gift given to us by God, but we have never sat down to really study.
Thank you, that's true.
And we've missed out a lot on the usage of the cerebral gift. And yet, God has been trying to communicate with us from that state. And yet we have not been good in also acquiring enough education. But what are we saying when we, I'll give some more examples on that one. What are we saying when we say that, like I've noticed that most of God's people, they lack basic knowledge of God. Their knowledge of God is so shallow. Some they lack even the most basic information concerning their God, though born again. We established a thought last time that what you see, you have taken a picture. Mm-hmm. You are taking pictures and videos every time you look. Your eyes are camera lenses, and images are being stored in your brain, and cells are taking on the shape of whatever it is that you're looking at. So this goes also to show that you don't possess currently a cell that carries the correct image of God, since you have never seen him. Your imagination of the devil is according to what you were taught. So you don't have the correct image even of the devil. So that is why even when you try to rebuke the devil, before he responds to you, he investigates, he wants to look into the image of himself that you have.
Yes.
So if he notices there's a difference, he knows that you're not talking to him. Whatever you are saying is not being addressed to him. We were given an appearance of the devil that he doesn't possess. And the preachers that brought God to you, they might have given you again a wrong appearance of God. So when I say that people do not, God's children, they lack basic understanding, basic knowledge of God, what am I saying? The problem is not even with their brain. When a person lacks understanding of God, what are we saying? Because remember, I've told you, you know God by God. So if knowing is by God, then we say a person lacks understanding, meaning he lacks knowing. Are we saying he lacks God? So when you lack in understanding of God, if that's where you're lacking, your knowledge of God is limited. And yet you know God by the Spirit of God. Are we saying you're lacking God? That's why you don't know God. But how can you lack God? If he is to come into you, all of him gets into you. Mm-hmm. Every part of God comes into you. But then when we are saying, he has no knowledge of God, are we saying he has no God? Because you know God by God. You know God by God. So if you know God by God, and then we say that you're a child of God and you have no knowledge of God, what are we saying?
Explain it for me. Explain it.
We are not saying that the God that you have received is not complete. Mm-hmm. You are not lacking in having certain parts of God. But the problem that you are having is the awakening of the parts of God in you that are responsible of knowledge. You have all of God, but not all of his parts are active. The parts of God responsible for knowing God in you, the parts of God in you that are responsible for knowledge are not active.
So it's not all of God that is responsible for knowledge.
It's all of God that is responsible for knowledge.
Yes.
But that knowledge is in categories.
All right.
Because, you know, like, remember, God, his, when you look at his body, there are things that you can do. Let's say you are writing a letter.
Yes.
Probably what you might need is your vision. Mm-hmm. You need your hands, you need a piece of paper, you need your brain. You can write a letter.
Yes.
And under the table, you have no legs. Probably due to an accident, you have lost your legs. And you can write whatever you write on a piece of paper and you send a letter and the recipient, the reader of the letter might not even know parts of your body that were missing when you wrote the letter.
Yes.
Because what you have put on that piece of paper has nothing to do with your legs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there are certain parts of your body that you can't do without. Okay. So a person reading the letter might not even know that somebody who wrote this letter, the legs are missing. Because there is nothing of the leg that is needed on what was written.
Yes.
Yet the leg knows. But everything that the leg knows has nothing to do with what I'm trying to do here. Yet the leg knows. But its knowledge has nothing to do with what I'm doing on top of the table. Okay. So every part of God knows.
Yes.
But what is known by that part might not be necessarily important to you every time. Okay?
Yes.
It can be that, like I'm saying, how come he doesn't know God and yet he is all of God?
Mm.
And with all of God, you're supposed to know God. You know God by God.
Yes.
So what is this? What are we saying? We are saying that the paths of God that are responsible for knowledge of God are non-active. So, by trying to educate you on the things of God, it's not even your brain that we try to activate. It is the paths of God responsible of knowing God. We don't give you those paths. Those parts are simply supposed to be activated. They become active. And when those parts become active, God appears. He's known, he's identified by those parts of God that you are, that you have received. So, when you try and get to know God, and suddenly you begin to know certain things about God. Those certain things about God are known by certain parts of his own body. Okay. I wanted to follow this one. So suddenly you are knowing. You just find yourself knowing things about God. Those things that you are now knowing about God, it's simply God knowing himself. So how come I wasn't knowing before, yet I had God in his totality? It means it's a part of God that has just been activated. A part can be there and not be participating. Like I was writing a letter, but my leg were not contributing anything. Yet I had all of my parts. So God in his totality is in you, in his fullness, he is in you. But not every part of his body is active. So when we educate you, we are resuscitating, we are bringing to life parts of God that you have that were dormant.
Thank you.
So they are activated. The place that I can only find in the Bible that can describe that for me very well, we are not going there, is where Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift in you. The stirring up of the gift is the awakening of what he had. So when the gift is stirred up, if he's not told properly what it means to stir up the gift, he's going to think he has eventually received a gift.
Yes.
Yet it is simply an awakening of a part of God that was dormant in him. So it means that Timothy had an ability to prophesy, but wasn't prophesying. But the ability was dormant. The part responsible of sight and spiritual sensitivity was there. All that was needed was the stirring up, waking it up, quickening it up so that it becomes active. And you think, I've just received a gift. Yet it's a part of God in you that was not active. So when we say that you lack knowledge of God, yet your knowledge of God is contained in the parts of God in you. We are not saying you lack in terms of God. You have all of him, but not all of him is active. So through education, we are waking up parts of God in you. So education is what provokes, what brings those parts to life. So that you begin to know God, and the God that you begin to know is known by the parts that we've just awakened through knowledge.
Thank you,
Father. Is this also tying into what you helped us to understand concerning the gifts of God, where the gift is not just away from God, but it is an attribute of God that is God. So the parts of God that are then activated are not just parts in the sense that they are away from him, but they are parts in the sense that those parts are actually him.
Yes.
I'm trying to piece together from your introduction concerning parts of the body that also contain a brain that communicate, and what you're giving us now concerning a full body. You're writing a letter, you have legs under the desk, and yet they're not participating in the action of writing the letter. And so we can have God in full presence within me, and yet I fail to understand certain components of God that are not just components, but they are God. So parts of those elements or body parts that are of God, they contain knowledge that is God, that I need. And so by us getting education concerning those several parts.
Mm-hmm.
We are not just learning about a part of a body that God has, God, part of his body,
mm-hmm.
but we're learning about God. Him.
Yes, it's him.
So it's the sum total of those parts together that constitutes the full comprehension.
And when you talk of the sum total, mm-hmm. it's put in, we can find all these things in this, in the Bible. But you know, our problem is when we start going there, we start to see something that we have never seen before. And this program will end in a different direction. But all that we can find scriptures to support what we're teaching here. The sum total idea that you're bringing in of the body, of the parts.
Yes.
He said it, but it is so subtle. You might not see where Jesus really said, where he really confirmed. I've told you before about Jesus sitting on a table.
Yes.
And he breaks the bread, which is his body. And then he gives to each disciple a part of his body, which was broken.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right. So it's a broken body. And each disciple gets a piece of a body that is broken. That was during the communion. And then he encourages them to come together. The gathering of the saints becomes the unity
of the body.
And then he gives it a name. You might think I'm just playing with words. When he says, do this in remembrance of me. Do you know what he's saying? There is R-E first and member. And as much as he's not just addressing the mind in terms of remembering, but remember.
Yes. Father, this is too much.
Reunite the members.
1 Corinthians 11.
We said we don't want to read that. So when you are doing it in as much as you are remembering me, but you are remembering the body. Remember, because these are members of the body that requires a gathering. So our coming together becomes the remembering of the body of Christ. So that this is what makes you important in my life and what makes you important in, because members of the body of Christ in you that are active are members that come to activate members of like nature in me.
All right.
Hence, I need you. Mm. Whether Timothy had hands laid on him and then he received a gift, the hand that really was laid on Timothy is not a physical hand. It is the member of the body part of God that was laid on Timothy. And the like member
in Timothy
of God got activated.
It's tying in so beautifully together.
It's seamless.
You know, Father, I suppose I was trying to marry that, and you made it so clear, because in my brain, I was saying, if I have a hand on the table and it's God's hand, am I saying I'm looking at God? If I have his leg and I'm...
Oh, is God looking at himself? Because if your hand is of God, it means your eyes are...
of God. You finished me.
Yeah.
You see, you had actually isolated your eyes, separated them from God. And now it's as if you are looking at the hands of God. But who is looking at the hands of God? If your hands are of God, your eyes are of who? They are also of God. So God knows himself by himself. But this is the issue now. When we get to the things that are known by certain parts of our bodies, your kidneys, the technology within the kidney to process, to clean up the waters of the body. The process of purification that occurs in the kidneys requires intelligence. You can see that the kidney is intelligent. The work happening in that industry requires intelligence. So there must be a certain place somewhere within the kidney that stores knowledge. And that part is the brain of the kidney.
Okay.
Same applies with the brain. Okay, we're talking about the composition of the brain. We have brain cells, right? The brain cells themselves, which are the cells of the brain, must also have the brains of their own. Just like with the body cells, right?
Yeah.
Body cells are intelligent.
Yes.
For them to get to a situation, to migrate to a place that has been infected, and to identify a pathogen, to identify a virus, there must be a level of intelligence, and they attach themselves to the virus and they fight the virus.
Yes.
And these cells, when they get in contact with each other, they have a way of knowing
that this is not a virus.
Yes, that requires intelligence.
This is a friend, not a foe.
Yes. And for that intelligence to exist within the cell, there must be the brain of the cell. In as much as the cell is the cell of the brain cell, the cell itself must have its own independent brain. So that when the brain, the overall, the controlling board, sends information, it is received by the part of the kidney that thinks.
Yes,
Father. You're following?
Yes, following.
I cannot teach you anything that I know unless I'm aware of the part of you that is capable of knowing.
All right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You must have your own independent brain. That is what encourages me to educate you. You have a part that can be educated, which is the brain.
Yes, Father.
So these cells, they seem to know each other even by name. There is no conflict. There is no fight over cells.
Wow.
Unless that memory, that brain is tempered with and your cells are mentally challenged. They have no way of regulating their activities, even their growth. And that becomes cancerous. That becomes cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
It is the madness of the cells.
Yes.
They have lost their mind.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because every part of your body is thinking. But it is being given what to think by the brain.
All right. Okay. Yes.
And the part of that part that receives knowledge from the brain is the brain.
The brain of the cell.
The brain of the cell and the brain of the hands.
All right.
Every part of your body.
Okay.
Okay. What are we saying? I'm saying for the brain to be able to control the leg,
yes,
there must be something of the leg in the brain, and there must be something of the brain in the leg.
Yes.
So that there's a connection.
Yes.
I'll say this again. You put 7 different televisions before you, and you have one remote control.
Yes.
You switch it on, only one television will respond. So there must be something off the television in the remote control and something off the remote control in the television. So that when you press a button here, something of that nature in the television responds.
Yes.
So I bought 2 toys for my boys and they were enjoying skidding those toys in a very big room. The toys were the same. Each of my son had a remote control, yet there was no interference. And I asked him, how come that your toy is not responding to his remote control and his toy is not responding to your remote control? And My boy said, no, they are synchronized. Mm. They have different chords.
Mm. Wow.
Then I walked away with an understanding that there is something of that car in the remote. Mm. There is something of that remote control in the car. Unless there are those similarities, you can't get the remote control to control the vehicle. You can't get the remote control to control the television. There must be something of like nature. So you cannot pull your leg backwards by the brain unless there is something of the leg in the brain and unless there is something of the brain in the leg. I want people to follow this.
I'm following. That's so clear.
So,
help us, Father. We are following.
Mm. And remember, I told you that this is the reason why, after having amputated, your leg is gone.
Yeah.
You are still having problems mm-hmm. with the leg that is gone.
Yes.
And people are sick.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they would want to scratch their legs, but yet the legs are not even there.
Mm. Yes.
Why? Because there is something of the leg in the brain. So the legs in the brain are still intact. But how come you are feeling pain in a place that you no longer have?
Mm.
That is, if you no longer have the legs.
Mm.
So whoever came and he removed the legs was supposed also to identify the place in the brain
where the leg resides.
Exactly.
And remove it there.
And you remove it there. This is why you can have a problem without a problem. You can be poor without being poor. Because you are dealing with an outside problem.
Mm-hmm.
Financially, you try to get a job just so that you get rid of poverty.
Yeah.
And you're trying to use money to amputate
poverty.
As long as you still have that in your mind, you still experience pain in places that you no longer have. So this becomes an issue now.
Mm.
This becomes an issue. What does it mean? Remember I said to you, you must have an ability to heal people in how many places? Three places. Which are?
The physical place.
The physical place. Mm-hmm.
Once you're done with the physical place, the mind.
The mind. And?
To locate the place where that physical pain is found in the mind.
In the mind, yes.
In their environment.
The environment. If the person is sick as a result of environment, maybe he's asthmatic, maybe he's allergic to certain flowers, there is a certain atmosphere in the house, there is dust, and you heal him from asthma, and the asthma is gone. But then the environment doesn't change. It's a toxic environment, it's a dangerous environment, it is making him sick. When you get into the house, that's why the priest, after even you are cleansed of lepers, he would come to your house and cleanse the house. He would clean even the bricks. It is the healing of the atmosphere, the environment. Because your house can still be sick whilst you have recovered from leprosy. So that's the healing of the atmosphere, of the environment. So what am I saying by what I'm saying? I'm saying, once we have, if it is possible that you can still be sick, you can still be afflicted by a disease that you no longer have, it means it is now in the what?
In the mind.
In the mind, in the brain. So what they lied to you about was that when you got hurt, you stepped on a nail. And there was a message that was sent to the brain of pain. And you felt pain because the brain was able to read that you have stepped on something so dangerous. And all we knew was the ability of the leg to send communications. when there is pain in the leg, the understanding that we had was only one way, where the leg will send or communicate pain to the brain. We are not aware of the brain's ability to also send pain to the leg, despite nothing has happened to the leg. So the remote control can send a signal to the television. But be careful. Modern televisions can also send signals to the remote control. How come the television is able to read the percentage of the battery in the remote control? You no longer have power in your remote control. The television is not in possession of those batteries. The television can read the afflictions of the remote control, what the remote control is experiencing, what the remote control is lacking, being away from the remote control. So there is a line of communication that is invisible that you can't see. So you must be careful of what it is that the remote control can communicate, can send to the television, and what the television also can send to the remote control.
Thank you.
You see the remote control blinking.
Yes.
It's also receiving signals from the television. So when you have a disease and your leg is giving you problems, it's either your leg is sending a message called pain to the brain, which is one way. And be careful also, in the case where you get healed from the actual pain that you're having, and you still have your brain sending pain signal to the leg, it's no longer pain that is coming from the leg going to the brain. It's now pain coming from the brain, the part that represents the leg in the brain.
Yeah.
If that one is sick, if that one is experiencing pain, you will feel it not in the brain, you will feel it down there, even after the leg is removed. You see now? So you must be able to correct your, by trying to deal with your entire body, find those parts of your body in the brain. You deal with those parts in the brain. You deal with those parts of your body in the brain.
Yes. Yes.
To think that you can be used by God to heal a man from a sickness and he remains sick, and people are looking at what you've done and they see it as a failure. You tried to heal that guy and it never worked. Who told you it never worked? You might have healed him only in one section, in one area, which is where the pain is situated, where the problem is, the leg.
Yes.
But can you go as deep as the mind and locate the cells in the brain that represents the leg and heal the leg from there? So this is what is going to help most people understand. So let me tell you this part, and then we move on or we close. When we talk of the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, we have received it like that from those that gave it to us.
Yes.
So our perception of it, the way that we have imagined the human brain, what if that imagination is wrong? So in trying to correct our thinking pattern, we are using a wrong thinking pattern to correct a thinking pattern. What is it about the mind that we were taught wrongly? What is it about reasoning that is unreasonable? So that in trying to have our beings transformed, the renewing of the mind becomes key. But how do you renew the mind with an old mind? How does that process of renewing of the mind starts? Yet you're dealing already with a mind that is corrupted. What is it that, how do you even start the journey of trying to have your mind renewed
when
the mind is already corrupted? So education that we've received so far, it's education, but most of it is not correct. We have all been taught, and we have all, including myself, also believed in the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, but their positioning has been wrong. What we thought was the subconscious mind, meaning a consciousness that is sub, meaning below. Is actually the upper mind.
Wow.
This is important for us to take note of.
Thank you.
The conscious, the subconscious mind. There is a mind that is conscious, but it is sub. That's what we've been taught.
Yes.
It's under. And the consciousness that we have, we perceive it to be above the subconscious.
Yes.
So when you say you're conscious, what you're thinking is, I have a mind that is on top, that I'm aware of.
Yes.
So it's above.
Yeah.
But when we talk of the subconscious mind, we are talking of the consciousness that we have, but it is sub.
Yes.
It's under. That's what we've been taught.
Yes.
And that's what I've also taught, because we were taught that way.
Yes.
But there comes a time when you need to begin to understand now, to study what exactly is happening. Why is it that, also according to scripture, we're trying to marry science with scripture so that we find like poles or we find similar nature.
Yes.
Have you noticed that what we thought was under is actually above? Because when the Bible talks about not pulling up imaginations, but pulling down imaginations and thoughts.
Yes.
That seek to exalt themselves above the knowledge. So there is a knowledge that has to be, there is a standard of knowledge that needs to be maintained as a rule of thumb. It is the knowledge of God. Any thought and any imagination that goes above that requires a pulling not up, but down. Yet our idea of the subconscious mind was sub, under. Okay?
Yes.
So what it means is that we have programs in what we thought was the subconscious mind. Yet it is an upper conscious mind. And that program oversees our daily activities by pulling down imaginations. God is saying, the word of God is saying, we have thoughts that we have elevated.
Yes.
We have ideas that we have promoted. That requires demotion. Pulling down. It's a promotion that you have given to a thought, and yet the thought was not qualified for that position, for that height. And we have seen that happening in so many places. When you get promoted,
yes, sir.
Child of God,
yes, sir.
When you get promoted into a position that you are unqualified for, incompetence will become your affliction in that office. The responsibilities will make you sick. The responsibilities will make you sick. When you get a promotion, this is what has made CEOs sick. Chief finance officers, they are sick. All they got was a promotion into an office that requires a certain level of intelligence that they don't carry. So they are unqualified for the promotion. You get to a time, to a point where you can no longer execute certain duties. And then in that point, in that state, there must be an agreement between your abilities and your responsibilities. Do you have what it takes to execute your duties? It becomes the most miserable thing where you have some African presidents flying all the way to United Nations summit, and all they do there is to sleep.
It's terrible.
To him, there is no difference between his bedroom and the place. You look into the budget, how much has been spent just for the transportation of such an individual. To him, there is no difference. You notice that as a young man growing up, you see that you're supposed to keep quiet, don't talk about, you have to respect the elders. So it is the people that are supposed now to understand, instead of the man himself understanding. When a thought has been elevated, above the knowledge of Christ, the Bible is requiring that, is asking that we pull down. What are we doing? God is saying, revisit, investigate your stuff, thoughts that you have promoted.
Yes.
You have promoted thoughts that are not qualified for that level. And you have to pull down imaginations. These are strong holds. So what? How do you deal with what we thought was the subconscious mind, which is now the upper conscious mind, which is wrong? Your life is never governed by even what you think is your conscious mind. You can take your conscious mind right now to school, educate your conscious mind. When you come back now as a professor, what will reign over your life is your upper conscious, what we thought was a subconscious.
Yes.
An educated man can be the poorest in the society, yet knowing a lot.
Yes.
What is known is simply known by his conscious state. Mm. But what governs his life is information that has been promoted even above what he knows. There is a program of poverty.
Yes.
That oversees the knowledge that he has acquired from university.
Mm.
If you were trained to be poor growing up, those lessons were promoted. They become strongholds. They hold your life.
Hey.
So no matter where you go in terms of education, in terms of academics, the subjects that you choose, the courses that you prefer, you will still have to come back after having acquired a certificate, and then you have to consider demoting certain thoughts that were promoted, because your life will be determined by those thoughts elevated above what you think you know. The pulling down of imaginations becomes the actual education that you require. How come you are so educated and so poor? What is bigger, what is greater, is not what the man knows consciously. It is what thoughts that have been promoted in his life. So there comes a time in your life when you need to recall thoughts.
Thank you, Pa. Thank you.
And you play detective. Investigate, why were you promoted in the first place? Was there corruption in this organization?
Yes, Pa.
Who placed you there? These are thoughts that you try to bring down. Growing up, I was taught that if you sit in the rod, you develop boils on your rear end. And growing up, you need to recall that thought that was promoted.
Yeah.
And you start to question, is this thing true? If you realize that the thought is unqualified for the position, it has to be demoted.
Yes.
You pull it down. What were you told about money growing up?
Mm.
It's a thought that was promoted, which has now become a stronghold. And no matter how much you get consciously, your upper consciousness will ruin everything.
Hey.
It is the mind that governs even what you think is your conscious state. So what preaching did you receive? What is the preacher saying?
Yeah.
Some preachers have actually destroyed the integrity of God. They've made you question God's ability to look after his children. So God has become like a father who is good at just creating and having babies, and he cannot take care of his own. Because of the way that the preacher has presented God,
yes,
it means it's a thought that has just been elevated.
Yes.
It's above.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to excel in life, you need to reconsider. You have to recall certain thoughts. Your ideologies are wrong. And I've said this and I'll keep on saying it, especially in our context,
yes,
in Africa,
yes,
even in Zimbabwe. If you look at the materials that people enjoy consuming on social media, it goes to show what has been elevated. Thoughts that have been promoted, belief systems that have never been verified.
Mm. Yes, man.
And the people that are uploading weather videos, they know how to catch. They know the way that we reason. Our reasoning or lack of it. How many views? Look at the comment section. You realize this guy is actually believing what is being said here. And I've said it before that I remember some years back where people, the entire community gathered at a certain house because they said there was a baboon in the house, which was working there as the factory. This woman was going to South Africa selling some things. And she's got a baboon. There's a baboon in the house.
Yeah.
And women there to leave their houses and men gather around the most successful woman that is going to South Africa to sell her items because she's better than all of them. She has something that she's using. No one got to see the baboon. And not even one, none of those people recalled those imaginations, demoted those imaginations, unverified, promoted imaginations. The way we believe in witchcraft, extremely superstitious. Everyone who is rich is doing something wrong. Unverified thoughts is what is making you poor. So the pulling down of imaginations, now we know where the subconscious mind is situated.
Yes.
It's above.
The upper conscious mind.
It's the upper conscious mind. Mm. And it is governing your life from the top, no matter what you know under. What you're knowing now is becoming the subconscious mind.
Thank you for positioning.
Which is your conscious mind.
Yes, correct.
We were all wrong on that. But you now begin to suspect, so how can we even correct? Because what we're trying to pull up from the subconscious is supposed to be pulled down. And every thought is supposed to be verified. Why did I grow up believing this? Who told me this? Who told you that money was bad? It's a stronghold. So I start to investigate. So if I'm going to lose my relationship with God because of money, how was Abraham managing the relationship?
Yes.
If therefore I am Christ's, if I am of Christ, then am I Abraham's son, if Abraham is my father. Why is there such a difference in terms of wealth between me and my father? Where was he, the father of faith, having had so much money, and the relationship was never affected? So who told me that? It's in an unverified imagination, thought, that needs to be pulled down. A preacher did their work. He was equally ignorant. He also had that stronghold reigning over his ministry, reigning over his preaching. So he was a victim of his own thoughts also. He never verified it.
All right. Okay.
Why are we so much into some of these beliefs? You can't just believe, you can't just be told by a witch doctor to go and kill, and you bring the heart of a man, and you have no idea how that is going to work.
Yes.
Spiritual things are supposed to be explained.
Thank you, Pastor.
A reasonable person must think.
Yes.
So I'm going to get a heart of a man, and I've killed a man just so that I get money.
Yeah.
So before I kill a man, I should be able to see the money that that man had because of the heart he had.
Yes, before it works for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Human blood. You might have people in your family that are so poor and they believe that you are using the heart.
Their blood.
Their blood. Mm. You are sacrificing them for your riches.
Yes.
You had the blood. How much do you have? Mm. All of it.
Exactly.
I can't have just a drop of it and then I succeed and you have all of it and you are not successful having all of it. How many liters of blood do you have? You go and you kill a poor man and you take his heart. With his heart, then you make money.
It doesn't make sense.
What kind of a thought is that? You have to think about that before you even attempt to kill. What is going to help you abort that mission is investigating thoughts that are strongholds.
Yes, sir. Yes.
How many witch doctors do we have in Africa being this poor? How many witch doctors do we have in Africa? How many hearts? How much blood do we have in Africa? Yet our situation cannot be corrected from that point of view. What has been placed above in terms of our mentality is what monitors Africa. Africa is being monitored by thoughts that we have not investigated. Don't be quick to believe anything that you hear, anything that you are told. Go wherever you want. Learn whatever you want. But when you come back, you will have a thought above what you know that you have not verified, which you need to pull down, investigate, and you question who put you into that office. Who gave you the right to supervise my life, despite what I know? I'm a learned guy, but my income is not showing. It's not proving that I'm educated. It means there is another superior thought that is in charge of your conscious mind. So try to revisit, get a moment of meditating, pulling down, recalling every thought. Is this true? Is this true? Is this true? Is this right? Is this right? Is this right? You question every belief that you have received, even from your father, from your mother, from your brother, from your teachers, from your classmates. Whatever they told you, which has now been established in the upper realm, needs to be verified. When you start that exercise, you are now renewing the mind.
Thank you.
That becomes the renewal of the mind.
Thank you.
You realize that I was holding on to this thought It doesn't make sense. It's unverified.
Okay.
How come I'm still sick, yet I'm healed?
Mm-hmm.
There is a thought.
Yes.
The pain was established in the upper realm. So no matter you're living a life that is okay, but there is a superior knowledge that keeps imposing itself upon you. And your life continues as a painful life, a miserable life. So your poverty is according to a thought, an imagination that requires to be demoted. So pulling down strongholds, imaginations, it's not pulling up, pulling down. Pulling down, because they don't belong there. If you leave them there, they monitor your life. No matter what you know consciously, but it is what you have established, what you know above. That knowledge that you have promoted will kill you. Look at how our people have believed lies. That you can sell your hair and make money. Sell your fingers and make money. You look at that, you cry over our nation. It makes you cry, if you're reasonable. It makes you cry, the number of people that have believed lies. That have believed lies in this country. In our country. It's so shameful. You look at them, they're well dressed up. They have nice hairstyles. Why they would decorate their heads like that? And you don't question certain things. Who is buying human fingers? And you get a car. Where?
This is ridiculous.
Just the idea that people can believe that is amazing. It goes to show that there is a mind that needs to be worked on. The pulling down of such strongholds, those imaginations that are above Christ. Now, wherever you go, some have stopped improving their understanding. All they think of is, if I can find a witch doctor who can help me make money, I'll be okay. You get to the witch doctor, you don't even look at what he has in terms of possessions. The owner of the power doesn't have what you've come to collect from him. He's suffering. How an uneducated guy can just sit there and he tells you, I can work on your case. But you've got your own case that I can see. You're suffering. You're being afflicted in the same area. Yet we have promoted these things and these thoughts, and we are being held captive by these wrong imaginations.
Thank you, Father.
So now you have a different understanding now of what you know.
Yes.
The upper conscious mind reigns over your subconscious, which is your conscious mind. No matter what you know now, your life cannot change until you start to pull down wrong imaginations and thoughts that are not consistent with facts. Pull them down, compare them to current reasoning and facts, and you disqualify them. You say, I'm not returning you back to the office. You don't belong up there. It's a wrong thought. So your life begins to change now because you no longer have a wrong thought monitoring the right thoughts that you're trying to have here. A basic understanding of things. You can't have money for a loaf of bread a day, running a business. What is wrong with you? There is a thought above that thought. Until you demote that stronghold, this thought that you're having, it's never going to take you anywhere. So it's an area that I think we just needed to address. Please be very, very careful. If you feel that you are still having a problem, that's why you cannot address poverty, even where you find it.
Yes.
Is there a place in your mind where poverty is situated? We amputate poverty outside. We also have to get to that part of the mind that was in control of poverty, and we also amputate it. Okay. If we don't, still the leg that is no longer there is going to experience pain. Mm. It's a signal from the remote to the television. And there's a signal from the television to the remote control. So be very, very, you still remain poor having money. Mm. You still live a lonely life having friends.
Father, if I may ask a question. On the question of pulling down strongholds, if I'm hearing you well, then the process by which we do that is subjecting those strongholds, deeply held ideas, to a process of verification.
Mm-hmm.
We question them, we query them, compare them to current reasoning, and if they don't qualify, we reject them.
Yeah.
Is that the same process by which we then elevate the correct thought?
Yes.
To becoming a strongholder as well.
Yes, but those thoughts should not be positioned above the knowledge of Christ.
Mm-hmm. All right. So mm-hmm.
There shouldn't be any thought above the knowledge which is consistent with Christ.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Father, mm-hmm. can I add on to his question?
Yes.
I'm following. I wanted to further to what he's asking to understand, trying to bring in pieces of what you've shared. You gave us an illustration of a person wearing spectacles and they're tinted yellow. And he's looking at things that are around him and they're tinted by the hue of the spectacles.
Yeah.
And then today you shared with us concerning how it's very difficult for a broken mind to correct a broken situation.
Yes.
Almost in the same way as where you find it's difficult to correct a person's mentality when the part that is responsible for thinking has been robbed by the...
Yeah, by the enemy, yeah.
I'm trying to marry what we know now, that we have an upper conscious mind. And we are supposed to cast it down.
Mm-hmm.
What mind am I using to do that if it is the mind that is seeing things from a wrong perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Say there is a bulletproof concept before me, well reasoned out, and yet I'm still wearing spectacles that are tinted. And yet I am supposed to use a mind without that disruption to appreciate the reasoning of this idea. And yet I might find myself continuing to misunderstand the well-reasoned idea because of my perception. Something can be so clear, and yet I keep on misinterpreting what is being said.
Mm.
How can I correct that so that as I'm pulling down, I'm pulling down correctly? I'm pulling down, and I'm pulling down
with the right mind.
With the proper mind.
The proper mind. That with is, which then to verify that thought.
Yes, Father.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm looking up and I'm pulling down, I want to make sure that the eyes that are looking up and
are the correct eyes.
And as I'm pulling it down, it's well reasoned.
Mm-hmm.
And those that are being elevated from also a position of clarity
mm-hmm.
and soundness of reason.
Oh, that is the process of education, remember. This is why I said we need each other. Because the brain that is going to help you realize that you have the wrong brain
is a
better brain. That's why you see students, they all sit under a superior brain called the teacher, the lecturer. It's an admission
yes.
that the man before us has a superior mind.
Yes.
That admission, it is simply, is okay, because a child, how come a child who doesn't understand mathematics, he understands that he doesn't understand mathematics. So there's a level of understanding that he has, which is not mathematical, but an understanding that I need to understand mathematics. So he knows what he doesn't know. So he knows.
Yes.
But what he knows is that he doesn't know.
Yeah.
So there's a knowing. So there's that fraction of knowing that you are born with, that you come with. That helps you realize that you need more. Just like I've told you before, he who lacks wisdom must go to God and seek for wisdom. But it calls for wisdom to know that you have no wisdom. Okay? So there's a little measure of wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom because he had wisdom. It takes wisdom to ask for the right thing. So, we are programmed to know even what we don't know. We don't know what it is, but we know that we don't know. So we have to subject ourselves to superior minds. When people come and they sit and the broadcast is running like this, it's an act of humility, bringing the mind that you have that you don't even trust to a mind that you believe to be probably more reasonable. And you feel it when you hear from a superior mind that really your brain is undergoing a certain process. You feel it. So that becomes key. You're not just trusting your mind whilst you're pulling down thoughts and imaginations. You are actually being advised by a superior mind, somebody who has walked the walk, who has walked the journey, and is helping you question certain thoughts. He's helping you realize that your belief system is wrong. At the time that you thought, no, this is it. I believe it. And it's so solid. I have all the facts. And then here comes a superior mind, and it helps you question some of those beliefs. So it's not entirely up to your personal reasoning. You are being assisted by the teacher who is coming and he is standing before you. He has a better understanding on how this equation can be solved.
Thank you.
And then you subject your little mind under him. And then you are taught, you are trained by somebody who has already reached that position. He has gathered all the facts, and you don't have facts for what you think you know. So you must be flexible enough to surrender what you thought was correct, because it's not giving you results. We have never had one man ever since whether Christianity started. Christianity. Whether since we have never had one man who has ever had a revelation, a vision of heaven, where he saw people suffering there.
That's true.
There's never been any man who saw a vision getting into the heavens and what he saw was garbage.
Yes. Yes.
There's never been one man of all the people that have had encounters who has been to heaven, whether physically or spiritually, who has seen darkness. There were no lights. There were no children in the streets, living in the streets or under the bridges. You study every revelation of the heavens. It was crystal. It was gold. It was purple. You compare that to the preachings that we are having down here. How can we have such a God who lives in such a place? And then we believe in the concept of poverty. So that professor is helping you question your beliefs. What are we going to say when we eventually enter into the heavens and the gates open and then you see the glory? You begin to question the God that you believed in. Your entire journey, you were concerned about $5. It was giving you problems. And suddenly you stand before a king. You see him sitting on a throne. He's not suffering. You look at his surrounding. You look at the type of trees that you see, the leaves, the soil. You touch, before you even see God, you are amazed by what you are walking on. Is this heaven? So if this is the God that we were worshiping, believing in, how come we didn't believe in what he believes in? How come our beliefs were contrary? So you need to quickly sit under somebody who tells you the mindset of God. the reasoning of God.
Yes.
And you must be humble enough to believe, in as much as things are not probably working well for me, it doesn't mean that is the will of God. That could be the will of an imagination that is prevailing over me. And you start to verify and you start to question. Those glasses can be taken away. And we can give you new glasses. You come for a semester and then you leave educated.
Yes.
It means those glasses can be removed if people are willing.
Yes.
If you realize that I'm not educated, you associate with an institution capable of educating you and improving your thinking. And then you subject yourself and you humble yourself. And then you are made to know. So what are they giving you? Different spectacles with a different color. So you begin, your worldview begins to change. So as long as you cannot change, we cannot change your mindset. We are wasting our time healing the leg. Because there is still another leg left in your brain. That one, if it becomes painful, you will still experience what? Pain. The poorest man, you give him money. It doesn't matter, you make it $5 million. It's an outward help.
Right.
You have amputated poverty. But that part of poverty in the brain, if that is not corrected, my God. That is why, because of our thinking, as long as you give bread to the poor, rice, sugar beans, you are celebrated, you are helping the community. Start to invest in educating the poor. No one will celebrate you. No one will recognize that you are helping your community. Tell people that I help my community by educating my... It's not help, according to them. So they are not even aware, they don't have the brain to appreciate.
Wow.
Knowledge.
Yes.
But as you try to educate people,
yes,
and you delete certain programs,
yes,
you are actually making a proper donation that is more expensive,
wow,
than giving them money. Because they will still suffer leg pain, not having any leg. Because they have it in their mind. Is still in existence somewhere.
Thank you.
So this is where we finished last time. We are finishing there again. I said everything that we say, a reasonable person, a person who thinks is more reasonable,
yeah,
might look at that and say, no, 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 that's just psychological. That's not scriptural, what he's teaching. But again, I said, they believe in the placebo effect.
Yeah.
Some of them, even the COVID-19 vaccine they received, is a placebo. It's water. Scientifically, if science has proven, and this is being practiced in medical institutions, that you can deceive, you can cheat a body into believing that it is recovering from a disease and it recovers. Just cheating the body. So what is being cheated there? The mind.
Wow.
And the body recovers. So if you can make the body believe that you are recovering by tampering with the mind, can you also not cheat the body into also believing that you are getting sick and you get sick?
Yes, absolutely.
If you can heal by cheating the body and the body recovers, how about making the body sick?
You can.
You can also. Where now the remote control is sending a signal to the leg. It's no longer pain that is coming from the leg. It's pain that is coming from the brain to the leg. And the body can become sick because of the mind that is sick. Let's stop there for today. Thank you so much for being here. We pray for you. God gives you grace. He keeps you wherever you go. He blesses you going out. He blesses you coming in. You will see the hand of God in every way. You will not fall. You will not falter. You will never go down again in your life. I pray that you succeed and you become successful. And you will wax great and you will multiply. 100-fold comes your way. I pray that you are healed. You are healed mentally, you are healed physically, and your environment recovers from every affliction I pray grace over you and the mercies of God. Child of God, I love you so much. And until we meet again, have a good night.